Do you remember last week when I was on Romans chapter 3 and I was telling you that Romans 3, 9, 10, and 11 is ironclad? That whole bit of not one seeking out God. I told you that Paul was putting everyone in an impossible situation, whether they've heard of Christ or not heard of Christ, whether they're a Jew or a Greek. He's putting everyone in an impossible situation so that he can unveil Christ. And he unveils Christ in 3:21 of Romans. And then I told you that there's a whole religion that claims to believe the Bible that doesn't believe that they are under that ironclad decree that no one is seeking out God, because they think they seek out God, even though it says no one seeks out God. Of course, I told you they think they're the exception. Christians, I'm talking about. They're different, you see. Because one problem with this, well, there's many problems with that, but when I turned off the camera on Friday, I thought of another big problem with it. You remember how emotional I got? Must have been Thursday, I think, when I got to the verse in Romans 3:21, after Paul has spent from chapter 1, verse 18, to chapter 3, verse 20. It's a tough section of scripture for Paul to write, and it's a tough section of scripture for most people to read, unless you're a Christian. Then it doesn't bother you whatsoever, because you don't think it applies to you. But, and remember, I started that video, those two videos, because somebody had written me and said they get depressed when they read these sections of Romans, and they get depressed, yeah. And that's good. That's part of it. Because it's the prelude to Romans 3:21, and that's why I got so emotional about it, because Paul turns a corner and he begins to explain the solution, and the solution is Christ. But here's the thing, unless you believe Romans 1:18 through 3:20, then that verse in 3:21, yet now apart from law, righteousness of God is manifested, a righteousness of God of Jesus Christ's faith. What's the big deal? Apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifest. A righteousness of God is manifest. If you have your own righteousness, why do you need the righteousness of God? Why would you lunge desperately for the righteousness of God? If you don't die, why would you need to be resurrected? If you have a free will, why do you pray for God's will? If you have power, if you're not helpless, and if you have power, which is the opposite of being helpless, why would you look for God's power? It's all sham. It's all fake. It's all words in a song. Words in a song. It's all it is. It's all it is. Disgusting, actually. It's a right disgusting law. That, yeah. Because you've completely watered down the necessity for that by not understanding the ironclad lockdown of Romans 1:18 through 3:20. Are you following me? I think you are. If you think it doesn't apply to you, if you think that your faith is all important, then you get to 3:21 and apart from law, righteousness of God is manifest. And there's another thing. Apart from law. Why would anyone get excited about that if they're in the realm of law and they think they can do law? If you're honest with yourself, you're supposed to read Romans 1:18 through 3:20 and just be leveled, desperate, aware of your helplessness. That's the God thing to do. That's the normal thing to do, unless you've been brainwashed into a cult and you think that doesn't apply to you. And then when you get to 321, you're like, oh my God, there's a rescue. And that's why I got emotional. I get choked up about it because I know that I'm helpless. That's a hell of a thing, the day you realize that. It's a hell of a thing. I'll never forget the day I realized that. I told you this. I was a Christian for 3 years. Two or three. And then one day it hit me. Holy shit. It really is not of me. This Romans 1:18 through 3:20 actually applies to me. I'm helpless. I'm going to eternal death apart from a rescuer. No difference between me and any other flesh out there. No difference. It's a hell of a revelation. Hell of a revelation. That's the beginning. That's saving faith. Until you get to that point, there's no saving faith in either evangel. Not in the circumcision and not in the uncircumcision. No, because even in the circumcision, Paul says his desire for his people according to flesh is that they come to a... is for their salvation. But Paul says the problem is, Romans 10:4, is that... they're seeking to establish their own righteousness. And doing that, they're not subject to the righteousness of God. What a day that is when you realize that that shit actually applies to you. That's a day. And then there's the topic of death. This is the same thing, really. It's one of those things where when you realize what death is, it should scare the crap out of you. And it should be a terrible thing, a nightmarish thing. It's not a friend that takes you to be with God. It's an enemy that takes you away from God. It's an enemy. No one praises God in death. And so death is an enemy. Paul calls it an enemy. He says the last enemy is abolished, death. It's another thing. It's not believed by Christians. They don't believe it. They take God's statements and they hijack them and they turn them into lies. They turn God's statements into lies. God didn't mean that. God really didn't mean that you're helpless. I mean, you do have a free will, but you know. God didn't mean that you die. No, that's... they fall for Satan's lie, that you don't die. Therefore, when you read about the resurrection, what's the big deal? That's my point. What's the big deal? You read that Christ is the resurrection and the life, and Christians just yawn at that. They don't give a shit about that verse. They can't. Because you don't need resurrection or life if you don't really die. So it's all... it's all just neutral. None of it means anything. The bad stuff is modified. The death is modified because it doesn't really mean death. Everybody has an immortal soul. The helplessness is modified because no one's really helpless. Everybody has a free will. But when you do that, then you also modify the saving faith of Christ and the resurrection. You modify it. That is, you don't really believe it. So everything is nullified. It's amazing how Satan does this. I mean, it really is astounding how Satan can pull this off. And I guess it's not so amazing because all he has to do, he knows how to do it. He gets, it's human pride. It's pride. Pride doesn't want to believe in either helplessness or death. Those are the two largest humiliations and embarrassments to the human. Helplessness, same thing, and death. But until people come to a realization of what these things really are, and that the scripture verses are actually true, then there can be no lunging toward the solution, lunging toward the answer. I'm basically making a case for desperation. I'm making a case because the desperation, the guy who's starving to death or dying of thirst, nobody ever appreciated a cup of water more than a guy dying of thirst. Nobody ever appreciated a hamburger more than a guy starving to death. Nobody ever appreciated the end of a rope who wasn't, you know, stuck in a well. I mean, the answer means nothing unless you first realize the predicament you're in. So, it's just a real tragedy. I really don't know what they're all singing about then, really. I don't know what they're singing about. I think they just... I mean, because if it's not a great rescue, if it's not a solution to desperate people, what are they all singing about? I think maybe they just like to hear themselves sing.